You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Mule Shoe Fellowship with Steve Frisco. This message was recorded on August 9, 2023, and is titled Access. Grab your Bible and let's join Steve and the message.
Hi, man, nice group tonight. That old heat's kind of working. You people want to get out of that hot and get in air conditioning. Yeah. You know, one of the things that I hadn't heard in the last 3 or 4 weeks around here is how cold it is in this building. I've heard it for 15 years in here, how cold it is in this building, and I ain't heard nothing out of you people the last 3 or 4 weeks. But one of these days, the mornings are sure getting nice, and so that means someday the afternoons will too, and catch up a little bit. We were in Montana all weekend. That was terrible. Slept with the windows open and get up in the morning and have to put a jacket on. And boy, that was rough. And then it got like up in the 80s. I mean, it really warmed up there during the afternoon. You know who the dumbest people in America are? The ones who spend a weekend in Montana in the middle of the summer and then get on an airplane and fly south. That's just stupid. Should just stayed right there. But, yeah, and then we swung through Denver, and most of y'all know kind of what's going on there. We want to give you just a little update because a lot of you have been praying for our niece and Becky. There's some positives going on. There's still plenty of negatives, and so we're still moving forward. There's a lot of things that the doctors cannot do, and the entire family, friends, and body of Christ is in agreement that what a great opportunity to know what the things that God can do, as opposed to just dwelling on the things that man can't do. We're going to focus on the things that God can do. So it was really good. It was really powerful. Everybody was there waiting on us. We went in the room, and it was really a good time in the Lord. So we're fully trusting God. And then part of what you're going to hear in my little teaching tonight is the main focus of tonight is knowing that you have access to the creator of the universe, the Father. I don't know if we understand that because we've been trained to funnel through a conduit made by the theologies of men that said this is the way to get to God. And when you get down to where it's life or death, and you get down to where it's, and a lot of you been there, a lot of you there right now, some of you maybe, you've come to a place where you realize the one true gift given to mankind was the absolute tangible presence of God. Access to the owner of everything. And when you know and understand that, you don't need anything else. And nothing's going to replace it. Nothing's going to enhance it. When you understand that fact, it don't matter if you're singing Amazing Grace or Mary Had a Little Lamb. It doesn't change anything about the atmosphere because you're already there. You're already there. You can't get any closer. And so tonight we're going to talk about that because I think that's a little bit of information that maybe has been left out of the equation, some things that we could learn about going home, going where we are, going to work, being with our kids, our family, friends, whatever it is we do every day, and to understand that pure and simple fact that God has made a way for us to dwell in his presence, and we've been given access. So we're going to talk about that tonight. And I think if we can encourage each other in that, help each other in that, we grow. And guess where we grow? We grow in our confidence We talk about faith all the time. Do you know that we're really trained, we're really good at faking each other out about our faith? You know, if I just need somebody to know how faithful I am, I'll just buy another T-shirt. Or I'll put another bumper sticker on the back of my car. That way the guy that just flipped me off will know that I'm a Christian. I know what to do to let people know that I'm faithful. The truth of the matter is, in America today, in the body of Christ, we lack a lot of confidence. There's a reason for that. There's a reason. A couple reasons, really. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. But we've been trained to be falsely humiliated, humble, to not have any type of authority to us or confidence. It's been said about me sometimes that I'm a little blunt and arrogant. No, I don't mean to be, but I am confident. I'm very confident that the Word of God means exactly what it says. I'm very confident that it'll do everything that it was set out to accomplish to do. I'm very confident that my God is very near to me. I am very confident that he hears every syllable I say, and I'm very confident that if I pay attention, I can hear every syllable he says. So, we need to help each other be confident. I'm going to tell you, when we was up in that hospital room the other day, there's hoses and wires and stuff going everywhere. And you're right in the middle of doctors telling you what they can't do. Yet while we sit there and pray in the presence of the Lord and his angels, everything about the heavenly host, everybody believes beyond a shadow of a doubt that this is coming to a positive result. However long this journey takes, however far we got to walk it out, if everybody involved will just listen to God and be where they're supposed to be at the right time and the right place, allow the Holy Spirit to do the praying because you know not how to pray, here in a minute, someday, we're going to get up and walk. We just believe that. Don't have one part of me that says that ain't going to happen. That's just confidence in your faith, confidence in the presence of God. That's what we're lacking in America today. So we're going to talk about some of these things tonight. I think it's really good. And I think some of the things that we've learned to do as Christians has hurt us more than they've helped us when it comes to walking this out by faith and having the confidence to do so. Murphs are back. We're not having any music tonight because Mr. Murph is buying cows over at the cow sale. I tried to get him to hurry up today. I kept telling him, I said, y'all got to hurry up. They ain't going to have no singing tonight. Like they're really worried at the cow sale whether we're going to sing tonight or not. But Jim did get to tell me a little bit. We're going to get you guys up here one of these weeks, but in the very, very near future. But a great time in Washington. There was one, and correct me if I get it wrong, Rhonda, but there was one time in there when y'all were there where all these pastors from these nations, and I guess it was kind of an unheard of thing, but they were there from India, Poland, I can't remember, Australia, Guatemala, Nigeria, Italian. Yeah, on Texas time, the Murphs. It was kind of funny because Jim was telling me when, you know, he told us the other day and he got up there, him and Rhonda was going to proclaim over the counties. He told me today, he said, yeah, well, I was making my proclamations over the counties in Texas. He said, I found myself repenting more than I was proclaiming. That's a humbling thought for a bunch of prideful Texans. Yeah. And then God told him, he said, I'm way bigger than Texas. So you've got Nigerians and Polans and, you know, all these different people have assembled in there while they're praising the Lord in David's tent. So you'll hear more about that when they get here. Also, I don't know if y'all remember our little friend Megan and her sister that came and sang one Wednesday night here, and just as sweet as they can be. They just got back from Israel not long ago. Megan called me and asked if she could come on Wednesday night and share. So I told her as soon as we get this horse sale knocked out, we'll figure out Wednesday night and get them over here. And I think she'll have some really neat insights to share with us also on that. So is there anything else coming up we need to talk about? Not that I can think of. Okay, let's pray, and then we'll just get in the Word here and study a little bit. Lord Jesus, we just want to thank you tonight. We give you praise, Jesus. Thank you for your holy presence. We thank you, Lord, that we live under an open heaven. We thank you, Lord, that you hear our prayers. We thank you, Lord, that you're attentive to our needs. We thank you, Jesus, that your Word is a lamp unto our feet if we'll just simply follow. We thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit that lives in us, your Spirit, Jesus, that separates us from everything in this world, sets us apart for your purposes, marks us with circumcision as part of your covenant, Lord. So we thank you for that tonight, and we just bless you, Lord. Now, let your Word sink in and show us some things as individuals. Speak to us as individuals. Not just speak through me, Lord. Meet with all of us here. Reveal to each individual tonight, all of us, reveal to us the parts that are significant to our life today, that we'll do better this week than we did last week, that we'll be more fruitful, and that, Lord, will bring you glory. So we bless you, Jesus, and give you all the praise, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hey, Friday morning, any of you early risers, I'm going to be at a men's breakfast thing over in Clovis at 6 o'clock Mountain Time, and I'm going to be speaking over there, and I really don't need you to pray for me necessarily unless God just tells you to. I pretty much already know what I'm going to do, but you might pray for them. I think it's going to be a really fun time in the Lord, kind of, you know, what you consider fun. But it's going to be a significant time. I believe that that Friday morning gathering is going to, God's really going to share something with the church leadership in Clovis, New Mexico that needs to be heard. And they'll either do something with it or they won't. It won't be enjoyable. And they won't come by and high-five me when we get done. But everybody could end up on their face. And we could change the way we do things. They could actually be the example for the rest of a nation. One of the most interesting things Jim told me today was those guys from India told him that the United States of America would not fail and would not go away. If it were not for the United States of America, some of these countries would not know Jesus. They would not be serving the Lord. We are a divine appointment. We were divinely brought to fruition through the inclination and the power of the Holy Spirit, no matter what anybody else says. But if that is the truth, and a lot of you sitting here nodding your head, if that's the truth, then this downward spiral is on us. It's on us. God's people are the only ones who have the favor of God. God's people are the only ones who have access to God. God's people are the only ones that can move mountains. God's people are the only ones that stand up and against the forces of evil. And I'm going to talk about some things tonight that's going to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that there have been no watchmen on the wall. All this weird stuff that's going on in all of our society, the only reason it's here is because there's an open door. My Bible said that I stand on the devil's neck. My Bible said that he got his tail kicked over 2,000 years ago. My Bible says that I can resist him, and that's I'm going to flee. Not hang on my pant legs like that chihuahua on Taco Bell. I think Christians enjoy having some yapping chihuahua dragging on your pant leg all the time. And how many of us managed our ministries by how forceful the enemy has been against you? I must be fixing to do something great because the devil is giving me heck. What do you mean? What are you doing jacking with him? Yeah. I think because there's been no watchman on the wall. Well, where's your station? Oh, we're fixing to get off to a really good start here. You know, in the book of Nehemiah, everybody had a place. When you go back and read the book of Nehemiah, do that this week. Read the book of Nehemiah, and everybody had a place. And they carried their sword, and they carried their word, and they stood their position. Where's your position on the wall? It's at your kitchen table. Since the day of Passover, it's been your kitchen table. We're not stationed on the wall around our town. I told those guys over at Clovis the other day, I was talking to them, and, you know, they got a transgender wanting to talk in the library and read a book, and that's got everybody all stirred up over there. And I said, look, I'm just going to tell you the truth. You don't have a problem with transgender. Those are not a problem. That's a guy with a wing nut off that put a sign over his head that says, I got a wing nut off. That's it. I don't know why he's got a wing nut off, but he's got a wing nut off. And he's telling the whole world he's a guy dressed up like a girl. You can see him 40 miles away. That guy's got a wing nut off. Now, I don't know why they'd let him in the library to read a book. But here's my biggest question. Why has he got an audience? Ain't none of them going to read a book down in my barn. You can come sit in my barn and read a book if you want to, man dressed up in a dress. But I'm telling you that now my grandsons would probably ride by on a horse and point at you and say, hey, did you see that? Ain't nobody going to stop and listen to you. How'd you get an audience? Well, I'll tell you one thing, a man who tells the truth about this Bible can have a hard time getting an audience every now and then. You know what they'll say about a guy that preaches like me sometimes? They'll do it behind the closed doors of a church, but he's got a wing nut off. They'll have me classified just like some nut wants to dress up like a girl. Forgive me for being a little blunt, but it's the truth. I'll look around this room tonight. Every one of you guys dressed up like a guy. Praise the Lord. Well, it's not any of you shop at Dillard's anymore. I don't think they even have a men's department. They have an almost. An almost department. Or used to be. Used to be a department. Anyhow, I don't want to go down that road any further. Let's quit. But my point being is there's got to be a reason we got this way. We didn't get this way because of the devil. There's some people listening on the deal here tonight outside of here. I want you to hear this again. We didn't get here because of the devil. We got here because nobody was on the wall. I want you to hear that. Quit giving credence to that knucklehead. Yeah, he terrorizes everybody. I'm the worst. I think the sorry sucker's got my phone number. That doesn't change right or wrong. Doesn't change access to God. Doesn't change my responsibility as a Christian and my family. Been telling this all week to church leadership. Man your position on the wall at your kitchen table, and if you got any time left, maybe you can go somewhere else and do it. But quit leaving your position to go bring glory to God. Quit. Man your position. It's easier to do it the other way. And we've been trained to do it the other way. You see, there's a conduit that's been laid out by man that says if you'll be a Christian like this, you can get to God. How many of you grew up going to the house of God so you could get to God? I got born again and became God's house, so I didn't have to go anywhere. The only reason to come to this place on Wednesday night is the mere hope that you might learn something that'll change your life. The only reason for me to be up here is because I'm done learning something that's changed my life. So I can get back home, man my possession, do my thing. Now in my occupation, I've been given a bigger place on the wall. You got to man your spot. So where you have places of authority and you have a voice, you have to walk in the knowledge of God, listen to the voice of God, realizing you have access to God. Do you know that in my world where I live, there's a lot of days that I do not get to participate in the conduit laid out by man that says you do this and you can get to God? I go a plumb different way. So much so that if church people see me at a certain time in a certain place and I don't look like I ought to look because I hadn't been where I was supposed to be, you get this right here. I thought he was a Christian. He's a preacher. Yeah. No, really not. I'm just a guy who knows Jesus. I have access to God. Do you have access to God? Are you exercising it? Are you living there? Because right here in Ephesians chapter 2. Now I'm going to bring up some really interesting points tonight. And most of it's going to be even a form of a question. So don't worry about asking me. Just go home and ask yourself. See what the word says to you. See what you figure out. Some of the reasons I ask questions is because I don't know the answers. If I'm required to know all the answers already, then let's go home. Nope, I've been at the cow sale all day. In the presence of God, with access to the Lord. So, Ephesians 2, verse 11. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision, called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. You did not meet the requirements. I did not meet the requirements of covenant. I was an outsider. I had no access. I want you to think about this tonight. For all my saved life, I've listened to people, and some of them are pretty darn famous, that said you could pray a prayer and blow some snot, and all of a sudden you got access to God. Raise your hand with every eye closed and every head bowed, and we're going to bring you a Bible, and we want to pray over you, and now we're going to see you in heaven. I don't want to see you in heaven. I want to see heaven in you. When I get to heaven, I'm going to see Jesus. I've already seen you. When are they going to see heaven in us? Because our declaration as Christians is we've been maneuvering through the conduit of Christianity on our way to heaven, and we want everybody to know it. And what do we tell all our friends and neighbors? If you don't get saved, you're going to hell. If you don't get saved, you're going to hell. Let me tell you, if you don't be born again, you'll never have Jesus revealed. If you don't have Jesus revealed, you'll never know who he is. And believe me, there's plenty of people, there are butt prints all over pews all over America. It wouldn't know him if he kicked them in the shins. There's men that occupy the pulpits all over this world that don't know him. You know why I know? Because I've heard them preach, and you can't lie about my God and claim that you know him. You don't know him. If you knew him, you'd know you had access to him. And I don't need another man's approval. I don't need to be ratified by the group. I don't have to be justified by somebody's approval. All I need to do is be circumcised with the circumcision of the heart, the Holy Spirit that lives in us.
Well, that concludes this segment in our message. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. Or on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship. And for Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.